How has modern technology made it easy to find the right path to where you want to go? Most of you all probably just thought about your GPS or global positioning system, and you would be absolutely correct. I still remember, growing up in the days when you didn't have a GPS, and if you had to find a place to go that was off the beaten path or someplace that you didn't know, you actually had to get out the old Rand McNally Road Atlas and find where you were going. But today, all that has changed through the wonderful beauty of GPS. You just punch an address in there, it'll give you a route or several different routes by which you can choose, and it makes it easy for you to get where you want to go without having to sit there and write all this stuff down and make all these notes and that sort of deal. So let me ask you this, how often do you use your mobile device to find directions? Most of us would probably say every day. There are some people that I know that, to put it kindly, are directionally challenged. They say that and admit that themselves. So they're always using their cell phone, their map apps on there to find places that they want to go. It was a good friend of mine who is with the Lord now, who back a few years ago, we talked about GPS, and of course that stands for Global Positioning System. But he said there's one better than that. He calls it God's Positioning System, because the Lord's going to put you on the path where he wants you to go, and he's going to get you there how he wants you to get there, as long as we pay attention. So today, grab your Bible. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 15 on the better path of life. We'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Hope and trust and pray that that your day and your week have been going well. A moment ago I mentioned we're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of Proverbs chapter 15, and we're calling this the better path of life. Yeah, I want you to pay careful attention as we go through through our text today, and look for the tips that we're given by the writer of the book of Proverbs on how to be able to find and how to stay on the best path in life for each and every one of us. So look with me, if you would, at our text today, Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16. It says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hated with it." Verse 18, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway." Verse 20, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is a joy of him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season. How good is it? The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous ponder how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our Bible study this evening. Father, we come to you now. We're grateful and thankful for this another opportunity by which to come into your presence, to gather around your word. Lord, we're thankful for each and every person who is chosen and been led to join us here in this Bible study today. Lord, I pray that you will speak to each and every heart. Lord, I pray that you will use me as your messenger for these moments that, Father, as we lift you up, you truly can draw all men unto you. And Lord, may you move our hearts closer to you through this time in your word. So bless our time, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at our text, you know, the writer is giving wise directions for finding the better path of life. Now, remember what we said a little earlier when we talked about finding the best path with technologies that we have today? We plug an address into our GPS, and some of them will actually give you maybe two or three paths, and you will look at it, and you might say which path you might determine to be the best. One may be a little bit shorter, one may be a little longer, one may have more scenic views along the way. So it just depends on who you are and what you like. One may be an interstate route, one may be a rural route. Some folks may prefer to stay off the interstates and take the rural routes, but you're given some options, but you're given at least two to three of the best routes by which you can find the better path. So in our text today, the writer is talking about us in our spiritual life in giving us directions to find the better path of life. Now, the Bible is always the best tool to use to find that path. People who don't believe or who are non-believers don't understand this. When you say that the Bible truly does have all the answers to all of our questions, it will give us the right path. We talk about the word being a living word. I've shared before my experiences of being able to preach a message in church and, you know, knowing what was going on in somebody's life, and they come up and say, "Preacher, I just want to tell you, man, you know what's going on in my life," and that just hit home, man. That just was exactly what I needed to hear. And in my heart, I'm kind of like, okay, I don't necessarily see how the passage of that day, you know, was fitting with what your circumstance or situation was. But hey, the Lord used it in your life to draw you close to Him, or to show you, or to give you wisdom in the ways to go. Then maybe shaking hands a few people later, somebody else who has something completely different going on in their life says, "Man, I'll tell you one thing, you preached that exactly to me today." And those two examples were completely opposite. And my thing is, I don't know how they fit, but I do know that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God. He will make it applicable in your life where you are at that moment. So it's critical that we use the Bible as our best tool in which to find and stay on the right path in life as we continue to go forward. Now, there's a couple of things that the writer said was better than great treasure or even a fatted calf. And he gives us that in verses 16 and 17. It says this, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted ox or hatred with it." Now, you know, I will probably use this illustration once again. You know, when you look at it, and particularly the way that it reads, it says it's far better for us to have very little than to have some great treasure and have trouble with it. I know that as folks get older, and I know that I'm the same way. Now, you know, it used to be you wanted a whole bunch of stuff in your life. Now you get to the point where you're like, man, that's just trouble. I'd rather have less and continue to be happy and have less to have to keep up with than to have all this stuff. There are so many people in life who they strive to just have more and more stuff. And I know that's not a real biblical word, but it's a good one. You know, so you have all this stuff, and then you spend your whole life trying to take care of those things. And notice what that says once again. Let me carry you back to verse 16. "Better to have little," meaning not as much, "with the fear of the Lord," meaning a reverence to Him and trusting Him, "than to have great treasures and have all kinds of problems along the way with them." It says, "Better is a dinner of herbs," you know, meaning, you know, something like better to have a salad than a steak when hatred is involved with it. So it's about choosing the best things, and the Bible gives us those examples. Now, I would ask you this: do you agree with that? There are people who would pretty much come out front and say, I don't believe that. I like to have more stuff, and the more stuff I have around me, the better off I am. Then there are those who would say, you know, the more stuff that's around you, the more distracted you are in trying to take care of or maintain or make sure somebody's not taking the stuff away from you. So I hope and pray that that with that, your answer was a biblical answer, that you looked back and said, yeah, you know what? I'd rather have less stuff and more time to be able to be thankful and spend, you know, with the Father than to have all these things that are distracting me and keeping me from being what it is that God wants me to be. Now, the writer says something else. Not only does he talk about possessions, he talks about people being hot-tempered. Now, as I read this particular passage in preparation for this Bible study, I just thought about how hot-tempered people are today. Man, everybody has such a quick fuse after coming through COVID and the pandemic. Yeah, people just fly off at the handle so easy over oftentimes the simplest little things. But the writer in our text mentions a hot-tempered or wrathful person. In verse 18, he says this. He says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets the contention. Are you a hot-tempered person? You know, what does it say in the text that a hot-tempered person stirs up? A hot-tempered person stirs up strife. Now, you may not be that hot-tempered person, but I guarantee you that every one of you that's watching this today knows somebody who is hot-tempered or has a hair trigger, as the old boy would say. And you realize that what happens is there's so much strife that gets stirred up when that is the action of mankind. And sometimes you really try to avoid those people. Listen, if that's you, understand that people don't want to be around somebody who is hot-tempered and creates contention in every circumstance and situation. One guy said to me one time, he said, I don't understand it, but it almost seems like people are avoiding me. And I said, well, yeah, you're probably right. They probably are. And that took him by surprise. So he said, well, why do you say that? And I said, you know, because you're a hot-tempered person. You have a quick trigger. You got a hair trigger. And I said, and when that happens, what happens is you just stir up all kinds of contention and trouble around you, and people just don't like that. Are you that hot-tempered person? If you are, then may the Holy Spirit speak to your heart today that you deal with that as you go forward in life. It also tells us some things about being slow to anger. Let me go down to verse 19. Verse 19 says, the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the righteous is a level path. When you're slow to anger, you know, I want to challenge you, if you're that hot-tempered person, when it comes down to being slow to anger, people have said before, okay, how can you be that way? This is how I was created. I'm just that way. Well, don't allow that to be your mantra for the rest of your life. If you know that it is something that's not good in your life, then the Lord, with His help, the Lord can change that in your life. You know, so how can you become slow to anger? I think one of the big things is to stop and consider what you're getting ready to say. Stop and consider what it is that you're getting ready to do. How many times have each of us been in a situation where we acted hastily in a circumstance or a situation? And then what happened was later on we regretted the words we said. We regretted that thing that we did. We wished we would have never done it. And if we would have just taken some time to have thought through the circumstance, to have given it a moment to take that deep breath and maybe count to 10 and consider what you were getting ready to do, how it was going to make the people around you feel, what sort of loss it was going to create, what sort of reputation you might gather by what you were getting ready to say or do. And if you can take those moments, you know, if you could turn that over to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit tell you, you know, stop, time out, hold on, consider before you speak, that you may become slow to anger, this will save you a world of problems down the road in your life. And that's why it's in the Bible. It's right here. Remember we said about the Bible being a great source of everything that we need. Listen, if you've got that quick hair trigger, you need to learn to become slow to anger, and it's going to take prayer. It doesn't happen overnight. But it's going to take you listening to the Holy Spirit before you jump into some word or action or deed that you never should have, that's going to cause you to have to go back with apologies and everything else. You know, I've been part of that before in people's lives, and then, you know, they've messed up, they come back, and they're like, I'm sorry. But yet it had gotten to the point where there was never a change in their life. So the person that they were apologizing to had pretty much given up on accepting the apology. They're like, yeah, I accept your apology, but that nothing's going to change because we've been here time and time and time again. So something needs to change along the way. And folks, with the Lord's help, it can do that. You can become the person that's slow to anger and the person that is no longer hot-tempered. Now, according to our text, it is better to be a wise son or daughter than a foolish one. Now, this goes back to parent-child type relationships. Verse 20 says to us, it says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. So, you know, it's far better to be wise. It is far better to listen to the guidance and leadership of your parents and also wise counsel in your life. And we're going to get to that in just a moment because I think that's a very critical issue for each and every one of us as well as we try to make wise decisions in life. The question really boils down to, do you want to make wise decisions in your life? Now, if you ask somebody that question, 100% of the time they say, oh, yes, I do. Well, you know, here's your pathway. Here's a way you can do it. You know, when you're making important plans in your life, important life plans, you know, it is better to seek wise counsel than to ignore the advice of others. Now, there's a caveat I want to put in here. Notice what I said. I said it is better to seek wise counsel. There are a lot of people in your life that you know and that you love, but you don't want them to advise you on anything going on because they're not the best decision makers in the world. Their track record has proven that they don't always make the wisest decisions themselves. Those are not the people that you want to go to when you are seeking wise counsel. Now, often there are those that call themselves our friends, and too many times they don't want to go against what we say. So we might carry something to them, so they don't want to make us mad. And what they do is then they just agree with whatever it is that we say. You don't need that person to be the wise counsel in your life either. You need that person who knows you and who loves you, who knows you for, you know, all the little idiosyncrasies of your life and all the issues, but yet will still be honest with you. Somebody who is seeking the Lord in His Word and in prayer daily. Those are the people that you want to go to for that wise counsel. Let's look at verse 22. Verse 22 tells us, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. It is always good to go and to seek that wise, and I'm going to go ahead and add biblical, godly counsel in your life. Now, when you do, you know, make sure you can find more than one. You know, go and talk to each of them. Talk to them separately. See what advice they give you. And generally, if that advice is lining up, first of all, with what the Bible tells us, second of all, with what the Lord has given us as far as guidance along the way. And let me just go ahead and interject this at this particular point. If the Lord is leading you in a direction, it will be confirmed in His Word. It will never, ever, 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 ever contradict, be contradictory to His Word. Ever. It won't. If the Lord's leading you down a path, He's leading you in a direction, it will be confirmed through His Word. If it is not confirmed through His Word, then I can almost promise you that 100% of the time, it's not what you should be doing. Because the Bible is that pure, it is that strong, it is that holy, it is that biblical. It is God. It is God's Word to us. And never will He tell you something in your prayer life and then it be contradicted in His Word. You can take that to the bank. If you don't get anything else out of this Bible study today, make sure you get that. The way the Lord is leading you will always be confirmed and not contradicted through His Word. So seek that wise counsel. Now, if I were to ask you today, if you had a big major decision coming up in your life and you wanted to do what was right and you were to seek godly counsel, who would that person be in your life? I hope and pray that there is somebody that you know that you trust that has a good track record of following the Lord, that person's face just appeared to you as you thought about it, or that name came across your mind. And I pray that you will listen to them. I pray that you will not only just take their word, but yet you will sift what they tell you through God's word. Because good godly counsel will give it to you from God's word, not just their opinion. They will give it to you based on what God's word has to say. And when they do that, then they've done most of your homework for you. Man, what a great opportunity if you have somebody that is good, wise, godly counsel in your life. If you don't, then I ask that you begin to pray and to seek somebody just like that in your life that you feel like you can go to, but not because they're just a good friend of yours, but because they also have a good track record, okay? Now, I'm gonna share a couple verses with you. But as I do, I want you to think about, when does a person begin to possess godly wisdom? You know, a lot of people ask that question. Okay, so when do you start to possess godly wisdom? I want to give you a passage. You don't have to turn there, but it's actually Proverbs chapter 9. In verse 10, that says this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Did you get that? Now, let me go back and go slowly. The fear, and I'm talking about the reverence of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Okay, let me give you another passage of scripture as you think about and as you consider what we're talking about here in seeking godly wisdom. And it's in our text today. We actually read it just a moment ago, but it's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. It says, "The fear," there you go, once again, the reverence, "the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Did you get that? The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. You know, when you go to the Lord, when you seek Him in His Word, when you seek Him in prayer, when you seek Him through Bible studies such as this, and in Sunday morning messages, and whatever small group you're in, however it is, when you seek the Lord, there is instruction in there. There is instruction as well as wisdom that is involved when we seek the Lord in such a manner. So consider those things. You know, when does it begin? It begins when you seek the Lord. Now, what direction does the path of life lead when you walk in godly wisdom? Remember we talked about with the GPS. The GPS is going to try to get you along the way. That doesn't mean that there's not accidents that can happen along the way, or traffic tie-ups, or what have you. But what direction does the path of life lead when you are walking in godly wisdom? Verse 24 gives us the answer to that. Verse 24 tells us, "The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath." And Sheol, most of us know, that essentially means hell, okay? So where does the path lead you when you follow it, when you follow godly wisdom, when you follow godly counsel? Where does it lead? It leads upward. And most of us know that metaphor when we're talking about upward versus downward. So when you think about it, what does the Lord do when you walk the opposite way? What does the Lord do when you walk in worldly pride? Verse 25 gives us the answer. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. Yet the Lord tears down the house of the proud. When you are walking in that worldly pride, we're going to talk a little bit about pride next week. So if I were to ask you the question, which way are you walking now? Are you walking in godly wisdom, or are you walking down the path of worldly pride? Now, the writer gives an implication about the prayers of the wicked down in verse 29. Now, notice what I said, the prayers of the wicked. Verse 29, as we go on down in our text, says this, is the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. So there's an implication here that the Lord is not hearing the prayers of the wicked. You know, they may be in a spiritual time out if they're believers, but if you're not a believer, the Lord's not hearing you anyway, and I can prove that to you from Scripture. Verses, particularly in Proverbs, that he doesn't hear the prayers of the ungodly. He doesn't hear, you know, if you're not one of his children, he's not hearing your prayers anyway. There's something about that old expression, I don't want that person praying for me because they can't get one past the ceiling. Well, there's a lot of truth in that, but the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. Are you one of his righteous? You see, as we do our Bible studies, I've said before, we always want to look for some promises to claim. So as a great promise to claim, what does he say about the prayers of the righteous? It says what? He hears them. We can claim that as a promise every day of our life, that no matter what it is that we're going through, when we are one of his children, when we are one of the righteous, he is hearing the prayers that we are offering up. So many times people have come to me and they said, well, preacher, I just don't know if God's hearing my prayers. And they say that because God is not acting or reacting in a way that they think he should be acting or reacting. Folks, sometimes God's answer to our prayer is that you need to wait for a season. Sometimes God's having to line some things up before the good thing needs to happen. Sometimes some things God needs to get lined up before he can bring us out of the storm and into his righteousness. But you got to wait on him. Many years ago, I shared an illustration in our church about how I had been off to a convention or something, and I'd been out of town for over the last maybe couple of months. I'd been out of town probably 3 weeks or better, and I was really looking forward to getting home, and I was flying back in, and we started getting close to Piedmont Triad Airport, and I noticed that we kept making turns, we kept circling. And I was looking at my watch, and I kept thinking, man, I said, I'm just getting uptight. I was irritable. I wanted to land. I wanted to see my family. I wanted to sleep in my own bed. And I started complaining to myself. I started complaining to people around me. And finally what happened when I was getting off, the flight attendants were, I hope you have a good day. Thank you for flying with us. And finally I said, what was going on? I said, how come we circled the airport for so long before we landed? And the flight attendant said, well, there was an obstacle on the runway. Actually, there were deer out on the runway, and they had to be cleared, and we had to make sure that they were gone before you could land. And the Lord just hit me right between the eyes with a 2x4 of wisdom at that particular point. Because what he said was, he said, Roy, sometimes in your life, I have to keep you in a holding pattern so I can clear the runway so that you can land safely. So just because God delays along the way doesn't mean that he is not answering your prayers. And maybe this illustration will be helpful for you as well. It is important for you and I to seek godly counsel. It is important for us to seek him in his word. It is important for us to listen also to what the word calls life-giving reproof. Look with me at verses 31 and 32. They tell us this. It says, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Now, that's not just from those that are considered godly and wise in our lives. I've talked to people before, and I've said, look, here's what the Bible has to say about your situation, and here's how the Bible pointedly says you should react to this. And I've had them look at me and say, I know what the Bible says. I know that you're right, but I don't care. I'm just not going to do that right now. I just don't feel like it. And they feel like they have this justification by which to be angry with somebody, or they feel justified in not forgiving, or whatever else the circumstance or situation may be. That is not wise. That is not godly. And notice, remember what I said that he said, verse 31, what does it say? Again, another promise. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. If you ask somebody if they want to be wise, nobody says, no, I don't. I want to be, ignorant. I want to be stupid, whatever you want to call it. Nobody says that. Everybody wants to be wise. But the circumstances and situations in our lives often dictate what we say when it comes down to things like that, whether we're going to be wise or not. Yeah. So let me ask you, do you find it difficult or easy to listen to reproof in your life. When somebody comes and says to you that you need a little correction, or when somebody points out that reproof in your life, what does that do to you? Now, I know what some people have said, because I've asked that question before. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't like it, and I'm just not going to listen to what they have to say. Well, often that's because they don't necessarily respect how that the decisions that person makes, the wisdom that they either show or do not show. But yet when somebody that they know and respect and trust that leads out of godly wisdom and leads from the Word of God, they respect that opinion a whole lot more. They may not like what is being said. They may find it a difficult pill to swallow in that moment. They may have to go away and really mull that over in their mind. But when they do, let me make you a promise. And if that's you, when you do, I pray that you listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if that godly wisdom gave you biblical reproof, then you need to listen to it. It's not always easy to do, because basically what that says is that we as human beings have to say we're wrong. You know, it's all right to go say, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm sorry, I handled this the wrong way. I've been a difficult person. Whatever the case may be, that's not always easy to do, but I guarantee you it will pay dividends, particularly in your spiritual life as you go forward. Now, right now, in this very moment, if you had to evaluate your life and I were to ask you this question, and the question is, would you say that the path of your life is on an upward trajectory or a downward trajectory, what would you say? You know, as you think about it, you know, some of you said, hey man, things are going great in my life. It's on that upward trajectory and all is most right with the world. Some of you all, before I even got the question out, were sitting there thinking, man, my life is in a death spiral headed straight for the ground and I don't exactly know what to do. Now, whether yours is on an upward trajectory or a downward trajectory, how does this make you feel? You know, for those that are on the upward trajectory, most of the time that's encouragement for you to continue to do what you're doing, to continue to seek the Lord, to continue to seek wise counsel. If yours is on that death spin trajectory, you know, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel like you're going to crash and burn before long. But the biggest thing is, how do I pull out of the spin? How do I change this situation so that my life can become on that upward trajectory? Okay, see, the better trajectory, to make a better trajectory of your life, the writer gave us all these instructions. He gave us several different areas that we covered even as we were going through it. So, in your life, what are one of the areas the writer touched on that you most need to apply in your life today to pull out of that spin and to gain a more upward trajectory in your life? You see, the Holy Spirit's already told you what it is. The question is, will you listen? Will you follow the directions of the Word of God? Will you follow the directions of wise counsel that you might pull out of the death spin and start your life on an upward trajectory that will pay dividends not only to you personally, but to all those around you? So you know what we need to do? We need to pray today and every day that we will follow God's instructions to a better path of life. You've got the GPS. You've got God's positioning system. And I promise it has every road, every map. It has every weather report, every traffic report that you can imagine. It's all right here if we would just get into it. Okay? All right, before we pray, let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week you will be reading Proverbs chapter 16 through Proverbs chapter 18. Again, Proverbs 16 through Proverbs 18. And next week, we will look at the problem of pride out of Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 19. We look forward to having you with us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we thank you so much for your word, which is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, may we truly hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against you. And Father, what the Holy Spirit has shown us out of these passages that we have dealt with today, Lord, I pray that you will Help us to take heed to the Spirit's leadership, that the trajectory of our life would truly be an upward trajectory. Lord, if it's not, I pray you'll give us all the tools that we need to be able to pull out of the spin and become everything that you want us to become. Lord, help us to follow your word to a true, better path of life. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be in or about or even passing through the area on a Sunday morning, we have services at 1045 at 1715 Highway 68 North. You can find us on the website. You can even click a map that'll show you a route to get right to us. But at any rate, I trust and pray that your week is going well. I pray that you will look for areas that God is going to give you to become something special in somebody else's life. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's just to say, hey, let me pray with you. Maybe it's just to say hello. But whatever it is, I pray God will use you in somebody else's heart and life this week to draw them closer to him and to be an example for him. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday morning at Central Baptist Church.